Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. My name is Father Cedric Pazenia, and I want to talk to you today about how all things are possible for God. All things are possible for God. The scripture reading comes from Matthew's chapter 19, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it'll be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With people, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All things are possible for God. In the Creed, we proclaim, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." And I want you to grab a hold of that term, that God is a Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Not only has God made everything that's visible, that we can see, that we can hear, that we can touch, that we can taste, but God has made things beyond. God has made the natural and the supernatural. So I want to impress upon you that all things are possible for God because God is almighty. God is created. Things didn't just happen to be like many people think, you know, the Big Bang theory and things just happened and people just by chance were born. No, rather the scriptures tell us that there is what we call an intelligent design. God designed things to happen. And you didn't just happen to be, it wasn't just by chance, it didn't just happen because your parents came together. God, the Bible tells us, predestined you and had you intentionally in mind before you came to be. So there's an intelligence behind everything. There's a design behind the universe. And we believe that God is the creator, the maker of all things. One time I was flying, and I was going from Houston to Portland, Oregon. So that's a long flight. It's about a 4.5 hour flight, and you go right up over the Rocky Mountains. And I love to sit by the window, because when you sit by the window and you look out the airplane, oh, you see all kinds of different things. It expands your world. You know, we're used to being inside in the walls and, you know, in a house, in a chapel, in a church, whatever it is. But when you go outside, everything changes. My mother has a cat, you know, and the cat is inside a lot of the time, but when it goes out, everything changes. You see her looking around and the world changes. Well, I was flying and I'm looking down and I could see the snow begin on the Rocky Mountains as we finally came to it. And then an hour later, we're still over the Rocky Mountains and we're going 550 miles an hour, snow everywhere and little lakes down below. And I'm just riveted on those windows, my face just looking down and the vastness of it all. It was like there's limitless and there's no boundaries to it. And then another hour, we're still over the Rocky Mountains, you know, going different places. And finally, we go by Mount Hood and we land in Portland, Oregon. But the point I'm trying to make is that creation is huge. If you ever go on an airplane, take a look sometime. Sometimes, you know, we take it for granted, but there's so much to see. And even those hours of flight that I took from Houston to Portland, that's just a little piece of the earth. And what I'm trying to say is that creation itself mediates an idea of the vastness of God, of the power of God. Because remember, God is the maker. God is the creator. God is the one who designed the earth. And I want to talk about some of creation here because the Book of Wisdom in chapter 13, verse 5, the Book of Wisdom has been canonized by the Catholic Church. Some of you Protestants or other denominations may not know about the Book of Wisdom, but the Book of Wisdom is part of our canon in the Catholic Church. And verse 13:5 says, "For the greatness of created things give us a corresponding idea of our Creator." So in other words, when you look at creation, and when you look at what God has done, it gives you some idea about what God is like. Some people, unfortunately, you know, they go to mystical mountains like Mount Shasta or other mountains, the Himalayas, and they think that the mountain is God. Well, no, the mountain's not God. But it gives us an idea of what God is like, majestic and huge and immeasurable and boundless and limitless. And wow, God is so awesome. I've always been fascinated by astronomy. In fact, I studied astronomy in college. I'll never forget that course. And we'd look through telescopes and we'd study the constellations and the different things. And it's amazing, you know, when you go outside and you look up at night, it's amazing what you can see up there. By the way, they have apps on phones now, on smartphones, where you can actually take your phone and you can point it toward the heavens at night and it will tell you what the constellations are. Or if you see a star or maybe the planet Venus in the morning, you know, the bright morning star, and if you look at it, it will tell you that it's Venus. So that's kind of a neat app. Well, anyway, when you look up at the stars, what you're doing is you're actually looking at a time machine, because the light of those stars actually left those stars years ago. Some of the light of that star left at the time of Christ, and they're finally just getting to us now. Now, the speed of light is fast. I hope you can get all these figures, but the speed of light is 186,000 miles, 7 times around the Earth, in 1 second. 1 second, 186,000 miles. That's how fast light goes. Now, our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is 100,000 light years. Can you imagine? In 1 second, light travels 186,000 miles. Imagine how far it goes in 1 year, where our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, which is a small galaxy, is 100,000 light years across. And our little solar system is just a little pinprick in the midst of the Milky Way galaxy. Well, get this. If it was just our galaxy, 100,000 light years across, if it was just our galaxy, that would be enough. Astronomers tell us that our one galaxy, 100,000 light years across, our one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy that we live in, is one of 300 billion galaxies. We just don't have the imagination to grab a hold of this. And not only this, the Hubble telescope's up there getting all kinds of images of the stars and the galaxies and the nebulas and the black holes and all the different things up there. We are coming to understand that the galaxies, that the universe is expanding. There is no end to it. And so what this is telling us is that God is immeasurable, boundless, beyond limits. God has no beginning or end. We can't even grasp with the finest instruments that we have what this universe is. It's beyond all telling, and it's limitless. So as I said, the Book of Wisdom, chapter 13, verse 5, creation, and remember, it is creation. It didn't just happen. It's intelligent design. Creation gives us a corresponding idea about what God is like. Creation is not God. We don't worship creation, but it tells us. It tells us. The Bible says, without even speaking a word, it tells us volumes about God. So I've always liked, I've always liked astronomy. There's the telescopic world, but also there's the microscopic world. You may not know this, but there is so much going on your body, in the carpet, all around us, that we can't see. I remember watching a program one time about what lives in your carpet. And if you only knew what lives in your carpet, you wouldn't be taking your shoes off. There's all kinds of microscopic little things crawling around in there that we can't see. I was watching a program on the Weather Channel recently, and it showed bumblebees flying around, and they microscopically got real up close. There is hair on the eyes of a bumblebee. And when you look at microscopically at things, it's amazing. Little mosquitoes look like a big monster that want to attack you. It's incredible what the microscopic world looks like. So we live in the midst of this magnificence. In some ways, we're kind of like a fly on the wall, or the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. We're close to it, but we can't see it. We don't understand it. And besides the telescopic and microscopic world, what about the national parks? You know, we're talking about creation. I love to go to Yosemite and Zion National Park. I've been to Glacier National Park, Sequoia National, Kings Canyon. The waterfalls and the rainbows and the rushing and gushing water and the vegetation. It's like a taste of heaven. You know, the creation is so beautiful. That's why people go there, millions and millions of people go to national parks, because they're so beautiful to look at, so magnificent. And then, you know, if that weren't enough, you know, we've got the stars and we've got the microscopic world and we've got, you know, the national parks and everything and Hawaii and all these different places you can go on vacation, golf courses that I like. What about the insect world? Have you ever thought about that? You know, you go outside and sometimes an insect will go flying by you and, you know, there's bumblebees and there's flies and there's mosquitoes. And, you know, when I go to heaven and I stand before God, I'm going to say, God, why did you create mosquitoes? Still haven't figured that out. But there's all kinds of different insects. The world is teeming with insects. What about the oceans? The oceans are teeming with fish. You know, sharks and porpoises and little fish and big fish. And there's all kinds of different creatures that we don't even know about in the oceans, teeming. See, God is creative and God's imaginative and God is a genius in what he has done. And then, of course, there's, you know, many people love to watch birds, red cardinals and yellow canaries and blue jays and all these different birds that are flying around. So there's a whole world out there just teeming with life, all kinds of different things. And then, you know, some of you are horticulturists. You know, you like flowers, and my mother's like that. You know, she loves to grow flowers and she tends the roses and, you know, the daisies and all the different things and takes the weeds out. And what about the vegetables and the fruits? I love, in the morning, I love raspberries and blueberries and bananas and strawberries on my cereal, all these different things. So I'm trying to kind of broaden the scope of your mind to creation and all the varieties and the different things that there are in the midst of creation. Our world teems with life. It teems with vegetation. It teems with magnificence. And we believe that it's Almighty God who is the designer and the creator of all these things. See, all things are possible to God because God is almighty. God is intelligent. He is omnipotent, that means all-powerful. Omniscient, that means he has all knowledge. And he's omnipresent, that means he's everywhere present. That's the magnificent God that we serve. And then go to a zoo sometime. I haven't even talked about the animals yet. Go to a zoo sometime. You know, you will get an adventure. There's giraffes and gerbils. There's lions and leopards. There's birds and boars. There's elephants and all kinds of different things. And I remember when I grew up as a young man, you know, we always had a cat or a dog in the house. Many of you, you know, my mom, she loves her little kitty cat. You know, my mom's 89 years old and her cat keeps her company. And it's amazing all the different varieties of cats and all the varieties of dogs, how friendly they can be. See, all these different things were created. Imagine, remember now, God's the creator of everything visible and invisible. We haven't even seen most of the works of God yet. We've seen all this, but the scriptures in our faith tells us that there's much more to come. You know, we use the word heaven, we use the word paradise. Can you imagine? There was a song out years ago, you know, I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like and all the teeming life that there will be. You know, we like pets now and we like going outside and we like national parks and the stars and everything else. Can you imagine the pleasures and the joys and the intensity and the new senses that we're going to have when we go to heaven? So oftentimes what we do is we kind of live life jaded. We don't appreciate all the good things that we have in the world that we're in the midst of. Like the story of Vincent van Gogh. If you remember, Vincent van Gogh was an artist, lived in the 1800s, kind of a tragic figure, Some say that he committed suicide, but he was a painter. But the problem was, when he painted during his lifetime, he wasn't really appreciated, and his paintings didn't really sell for any money. In fact, one time he went to his doctor and had an exam. His doctor was Dr. Ray, and when he went to Dr. Ray, he didn't have money to pay, so what he did is he painted a portrait of Dr. Ray, and he gave it to him as payment. Dr. Ray looked at the portrait. He didn't really like it, so he gave it to his parents. His parents didn't like it either. So what they did is they crumpled it up, and they plugged up a hole in the chicken coop with it. Years later, that same portrait of Dr. Ray sold for $20 million. See, at the moment, they didn't appreciate it. And oftentimes, we don't appreciate what we have. The vastness, the splendor, the wonder. Don't lose your sense of wonder. Sometimes when I fly, as I told you, I remember one time I was flying to Fresno. We went right over Yosemite National Park on a small airplane. We were right above it. I'm looking down there for Half Dome. And the pilot even announced, we're going right over Yosemite now. And I look, I'm looking out down the window, and I'm looking down there because I've been down there. And many people had their window shades closed. They didn't even open them up. We're flying over Yosemite in an airplane. You know, people pay hundreds of dollars for these trips, just these sightseeing trips, and people don't even look out. What I'm simply saying is, you know, it's so easy to lose your sense of wonder and not appreciate the good things that you have. And then really quickly, let me go on. There's been an explosion of technology. As you know, we live in an information age. There's the internet, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, you know, there's TV, and all these new things that they're developing. The communications are instantaneous. I remember watching Star Trek one time, and you know, they get into this room and their molecules change and they get beamed up. Remember Scotty, beam me up? I really think things like that are coming. You see, God has created a world of infinite possibilities. We're just starting to discover all the possibilities. Think about airplanes. 100 years ago, nobody flew. We've been to the moon and back many times. This is the world that we live in. I remember what Fulton Sheen said about TV. I'm fascinated by TV. I love to watch it. I'm so glad that I get to reach out to people on TV. And Fulton Sheen said that some say that we live in the atomic age, but he said we live in the age of television. Newton knocked out the boundaries of space. Einstein knocked the boundaries out of time, but television has annihilated space and time. And I love TV because what a way to reach out. Years ago, ministers couldn't do that, but now we can reach into hospitals and prisons and nursing homes, into your own homes, to people that have fallen away, the people that aren't going to church, and people that are to be inspired. So I'm trying to talk about the world that God has made gives us a corresponding idea to who God is. God is magnificent, all-powerful, intelligent, everywhere present. God is awesome. There's been a song out, I believe it was by Rich Mullins, God is an Awesome God. So really quickly, what is the crowning achievement that God has done? Remember, God creates in 6 days, and on the sixth day, after creating all the world and all the different things, he creates men and women, and he says, this is very good. The crowning achievement is people. Do you realize that right now on the face of the earth, we have just passed a milestone just a few months ago? 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Men, women, older people, teenagers, babies. Speaking of babies, I heard that there's a statistic, every second, 4 people are born, 2 people die. Every second. During the course of this program, hundreds of people have been born. 100 people have died. It's a constant motion. People coming, keep people going. This is the God that we serve. And I heard, as I was studying statistics, the odds of you being born, 1 in 400 trillion. There's more odds that you wouldn't be born than you would be born. And that's interesting because you didn't just happen by chance, and it wasn't just because your parents got together. Rather, God intended for you to be born. So what are the odds of you being born? 1 to 1, because God had you in mind before the world began. And this is the God that we serve, a God who creates all these different people. And out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth, every fingerprint is different. Everybody is unique. Everybody looks different. Everybody is different. The genius of God, the imagination of God. See, I've studied for this homily, as you can see, and I've tried to give you a taste of all the different things. I could go into detail on everything that I've said, but I've tried to give you a taste of all these different things so that you will realize how magnificent God is. So, that being said, Ephesians 1:19, let me say this. Paul the Apostle prayed this, Ephesians 1:19, that we would know the immeasurable greatness of God's power at work in us who believe. So all this power on display, all this magnificence, all this intelligence, all that God has done in creation, we can know that power in our life. So what I'm trying to say is, if God can do all that, don't you think that God can bring your children back to the faith? If God can do all that, don't you think that God can heal a rocky marriage? If God can create from nothing by speaking a word, don't you think that God can make your dreams come to pass? If God is so magnificent, don't you think he can revive your prayer life? Absolutely, he can. And if God can do all that, don't you think he can change your life? See, God is in the business of revealing his power and moving in people and changing lives. Let me share with you really quickly a letter I got from a person in prison. He said, I'm an inmate and I'm serving 15 years to life for murder. I came to Christ through your program, Father Cedric, on the Church Channel. Would you please send me a Bible and some of your books, which we did, because I want to grow in my faith. This is fantastic. You see, God's power is revealed in creation, but it's also revealed in his working in you and in me. And he can change lives. You probably heard this story about John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader back in the 1700s. He's on a slave trip. And as he's going across the ocean from England to the United States with a bunch of Africans, with a bunch of blacks on his ship, they got hit by this violent storm. He really thought he was going to die. And although he was an atheist, kind of an angry man, he cried out to God for salvation, for help, and the ship was saved. But at that time, he didn't have a big conversion, but he looked back at it later, because later he did have a conversion. He remembered the prayers that he made on that ship. He stopped becoming a slave trader. He became a minister. And as you know, he was also a singer. One of the famous songs from John Newton, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. We all know that song. Many people have it sung at their funeral. It's so wonderful. And I want to tell you that as magnificent as God is, it's his grace, his undeserved favor, his power working in our lives that can change us. Jesus said in the gospel, with people it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And he was talking about salvation. I remember just in my own life, really quickly, I grew up Catholic. I fell away from the church. I was not interested in God. I had a hard heart. I was bored with religion. I didn't want any part of it. And a lot of people that watch TV are watching TV on a Sunday morning because they don't want to go to church. And they're not really interested in that whole thing. And it was God's amazing grace that changed my life. And if he can change me, he can change you. Go to a 12-step meeting sometime. That's for Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous. We have them here at the Holy Name Retreat Center. You should listen to the stories that are told. And they talk about how God has worked in their life. They'll have bottoming out experiences, all kinds of tragic situations, and how the power of God has worked. See, with people, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, where are you in need of change? Are you saved? Do you know God in your life? I am going to pray that the amazing grace of God will touch you right where you are. The God who created the universe, of all that is seen and unseen, is at work in you. You've stayed with the program, you've listened, you know that God has invited you to a deeper relationship. I pray that that amazing grace will touch you, change you, and bring you into a saving relationship with God. With people, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. And I'm praying that right now, God's grace will soak your life, help you in any area that you need it, and especially if you're far away from God and the church, that you will change and you will develop a personal relationship with God. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.